It's the 12th of June. I'm Stephanie Cruz of Ellen Links, and I'm here today in Rada talking to Morva Shaw and to Jill Willey. Morva, just for reference, in which year were you born?
1938.
And Jill?
1951.
Thank you. Morva, can you tell me a little bit about your family and how you came to be in Rada, where you were born?
I was born and bred at Number 9 Green Gardens, and I was the second daughter of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And
your father was?
My father was a blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, I think the mother was just a housewife then, something. Mm. And we lived there for a while, and then I think just before the war finished, my father was moved from Rada to work at Wynn's. I'm not sure what it was, something to do with blacksmithing, I would imagine. And we were there for a while because my brother was born in an air raid in Newport itself.
Oh, right.
And then the where he was, my father was working, it was bombed, so we came back to Rada. And I think eventually, oh no, I'm trying to think where we went. Just trying to think now.
Did you move back to Green Gardens?
No, we moved back to a place called, oh, I can't think of the name of it now.
It'll come.
Whereabouts was it?
What I call the Pounds Lane, but I can't think of the name of the farm. It came to me just before you said something. It's gone again now. Anyway, we shared a house there for a little while, and then we came back to live in Rada in Penporth, in the opposite to the Cwmtaithr Arms pub then, you know, the alleyway up to... You know what I mean?
I do, Church Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we lived there then until we were allocated number 18 Green Gardens. And that's where I stayed until I got married.
Mm.
And then we got married in 1963, Mike and myself. And then I think it was about, Mark was 6 months old when we came to live here.
Mm-hmm. And you've been here ever since.
He was born in 1965. And then 3 years later, I had Richard, and he was born in 1968.
Mm.
And then I eventually went back to the chemist after Richard went to school at four.
Okay, so if we go back a bit, you first started working at the chemist's in...
1955.
And did you have an interview?
Well... No, actually, in one respect, yes, but no in another, because I worked for 1 year in Central Stores, which is now the Spa, which was owned by Gerald Morgan and his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked there for a year, and then my sister, who was already working in the chemist before me for 1 year, was going to teach a training college. So T.C. Price very kindly asked her to ask me would I like the job, because he thought the work I was doing at Central Stores was too much for a young woman. So that's how I came to work in the chemist.
Right, yeah. Okay. And Jill, your mum worked in the same chemist, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Not for very long, I don't think. Probably the very late 50s, going into the early 60s. I know she left in 62. But she did have a few very happy years, working part-time, I believe it was, in the chemist shop. Yes.
But not for T.C. Price. Mm-hmm. It was for E.W. Price.
Right.
Yes.
Mm. And what do you remember of Jill's mum?
Right, I can't remember. I don't remember your mum that much. I mean, I remember her going, she was a WI member, wasn't she? But I wasn't there, of course, because I was only a teenager then, wasn't I? So a lot of time got under the bridge since then. Mm.
So what stories do you remember your mum telling Jill?
Well, I'll have to tell you. I'll start with a funny one anyway. No, perhaps I better start with a more serious one, hadn't I? I know she used to talk about the customers that came in, the sort of things they'd ask for, and they'd seem to go off at a tangent sometimes, you know, not knowing quite what it was that they wanted. I think they wanted the assistants there to sort out their problems, you know.
That's right.
I'm sure a lot of that used to happen. And, of course, these are in the days where you didn't sort of walk around and help yourself like a supermarket. You actually went to the counter, didn't you, like that? And people used to come in with their problems. And I remember one lady, she was a single lady, but she obviously thought she was in the family way, which, of course, was a bit hush-hush in those days. And she went up to my mother asking her if there was anything my mother could do or anything my mother could give her, you know, in these circumstances. And of course, my poor mother, well, she wasn't in any position to do that sort of thing. You know, that was a bit of a sad story.
Yeah,
but right. Then
quite hard for that. Yes.
Then I remember something rather funny. There was a lady working there who Morva knew very well called Jean Bufton, and she had an amazing sense of humour. And one day a customer came into the chemist saying to Jean, "Look, can you help me, please? I want something, a nice present for a nice little old lady." Jean sort of looked at her and said, "Well, how about a little old man?" I thought that was a lovely story. I still tell that one.
Yes,
and I still...
And more for you, you've got a little black book there with some things written down in it,
right,
haven't you?
Oh, right, yes, we did, yes. Yeah. So, all right, we used to have a lot of fun about this. Do you want to read that one?
Yes, well, read a few.
Oh, really, about myself, and so I should say it ahead of print. Writer says here, that this is myself now, Morva. I went up to the cemetery last night collecting, but I didn't get an answer.
And what did some people come and ask for?
Oh, Lord.
Because as Jill says, you didn't go and have a look on the shelf. You asked for certain kinds
of
hand cream and things.
Come and ask for different things. Oh, here's one. Somebody asked for Scruples ammonia. And it should have been Scrubs ammonia. We still have that today, don't we?
We do.
Oh, and another one was somebody asked, could they have some Jules fluid? Should have been Jay's fluid.
Jay's fluid, yes, I remember that. And you were saying just earlier, going through some of the changes that you saw in the shop, you used to have to handwrite the labels
that were dispensed. Yeah, that's quite interesting. And you got writer's crap doing that, but of course it wasn't as busy as it got eventually, you know, with the NHS. And then we sort of progressed. And I think it was after T.C. Price retired, and even when E.W. retired, Mrs. Evans, that was another pharmacist who bought the chemist off E.W.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already bought a chemist off him in Winnish.
Oh, right.
And like they followed one another really to Redden.
Mm.
She actually had retired, but because her son was going to university, she felt she would have to, you know, go back into work to see him through university, and then afterwards it didn't matter too much, she said, you know. But she was quite a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had everything under the sun in the chemist then, like, you know, entirely different to E.W. and T.C. Price. And I can remember Mrs. Kathleen Price now, the previous owner's wife, saying to me the one day, she said, "It's like a Woolworths," she said. "It's not a chemist shop." And she was quite sharp about that.
So when you first started working at the chemist, can you describe what the shop looked like inside? You sort of like you would go in through the front doors.
Well, it was a lot of at the back of the counter in the actual shop, there were like all these drawers with all these labels on, like mothballs and, you know, varying things, all in these little cupboards behind you.
Mm.
And then there were shelves above with all these carboys and things, you know. And I remember one day we had to dust the top shelves. And I can remember T.C. Price saying to me, "Morva, don't take the top off that ammonia because it'll take your head off," he said. Of course I did, didn't I?
Oh,
they nearly came down the ladder.
Yeah. And do you remember the shop as it was like that?
Yes, I do. I remember cupboards full of jars of these very interesting looking medicines. I remember that. And I remember there was like a little, almost like an ante room, which had baby food. I remember shelves behind shelves sort of thing. And there was one completely for baby food, I remember. And of course, then you had the other things on display, like nice perfumes and nice talcum powders and soaps and perhaps something for the little old lady is what that lady, right. I think, was really talking about. Yes, and if I can just mention, my father had a very good friendship with Mr. T.C. Price. And I remember being literally in the back behind the scenes trying on pairs of glasses with my father and Mr. Price, because he was an optometrist as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And some of his younger family, you know, we'd get together and try on lipsticks, Dorothy Gray particularly. We thought we were very, very sophisticated. But all this was going on sort of behind the scenes, as it were. I don't remember, for instance, glasses. No. Or a lot of, or an awful lot of makeup actually on display.
Yeah, that's right.
But yes, I certainly remember it. And of course, the big difference being that you went up to the counter to.
Yeah, that's right. Well, T.C. Price used to make concoctions for the farmers. And he had a lovely, what do they call it? A book that he kept them in. You know, he wrote the recipes in. Beautiful handwriting he did. But I don't know where that chronicle went. It was certainly in the chemist after Mrs. Evans left, and then Mr. Ken Evans, he came. Mr. Edwards came. And when they left, I think they took it with them. I got a feeling that they sold it. It was a shame because it should have been left really there.
Yeah. And so that was for the animals?
Yes. What I used to do, I'll tell you what it's just, we used to sit out the back. There was like a lean-to at the back, and then you would sat out like today sort of thing. And we'd mix this concoction up in a big bucket. And if the wind was in the right direction, it would take your breath away. And it was what we called a green salve. And I remember this one day saying to Mr. Price, well, what exactly is that for? Well, it's something they put on the little lambs when they were castrated.
Oh, right.
I thought, poor little things. Yeah.
Do you remember what was in it?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I can't remember now. That's too many years ago. I mean, that stopped a long time ago.
But you have a memory of...
I do have a memory of the medicines that he used to make. And there was a couple of things he'd make, which is supposedly to cure a cold. I think they were like a general antidote, really. One was pink and one was white. And he claimed that one was vanilla and one was strawberry.
Oh.
And if you took this, you'd be fixed up. Well, the taste of these was so... absolutely ghastly that the very thought of taking it instantly cured you. I'm sure it was psychological, but I'll never forget those. These, and the very thought, you knew he was disappearing out the back to make these concoctions, and I thought, oh no, here we go. Oh, for goodness sake.
Amorphous.
Oh, look, a bottle.
Got one of the bottles out.
Those were the bottles.
Glass bottle and stopper and...
It's a jar. Oh, there's some more there. Hang on.
Was the green salve kept in that jar?
No. That was for other things. That was.
Oh, I say.
Right. Is there a label on it?
No, there doesn't appear to be a label on it, but there's another small. There's a. Oh, that's a label on that one. Pill Hydra. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I mean, that's pass. Jill, can you pass me the step up? Are you there?
The step, certainly.
Just chuck that on the floor.
And the glass bottle is labelled Sol Tripan Blue, 1 gram with a squiggle there that I can't
interpret. A pharmacist to
Yes, you'd need a pharmacist.
It's like they used to make up medicines, you know, didn't they?
It's absolutely. Beautiful. Yeah. And notice, telephone number 45.
Yeah, but it's what is it now?
It's probably something similar.
810.
1455.
It's 445, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 810445.
And I think it remains to that to this day, isn't it?
Probably. Oops. Oh, look, more bottles. These are I remember.
Yes, but droppers and dry droppers and eyedrops and things.
Gosh. Yes, another with a TC Price label on, Raider.
I'm struggling myself here.
Oh, that's another lovely one. Spirit of Camphor.
Well, the shape of these bottles, they're absolutely beautiful.
They are, aren't they?
They're ornamental in themselves now. Can I have...
And a blue one. Now, that one is denoting that that's poisonous, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Because it's got, well, A, it's got not to be taken.
Blues and browns were, you know, brown especially were the poisonous ones.
Mm-hmm. And the ribbing on the bottles as well, that's...
I don't know what that was. Yeah, just to show you the difference of the bottles.
I had thought that it was so that you didn't take it by accident at night. So you could feel that it's got ribbing on, and you knew that you shouldn't take it.
Perhaps somebody...
Do you know, I hadn't realised I had so many of these left.
Perhaps somebody with perhaps poor eyesight, they would rely on the tactile nature. Yeah.
That's the dropper, look.
Yes, gosh, yes.
Eye drops or ear drops, so it could be iodine. You can't buy iodine today now, can you?
I have no idea, I haven't tried.
No?
Isn't it betadine that we take now, and it doesn't hurt as much?
Oh, I don't know.
But I remember iodine. Ouch.
Yeah, yes, right. Yes, it was quite painful. Permanganate of potash, my grandmother used to swear by.
Oh, yes, yeah.
There you go. So going back to the chemist then, obviously there were quite a lot of changes over your time there. We talked a little bit about labels. And technology changed quite a lot as well. Or maybe let's go back to when you first worked there, did Mr. Price have a telephone?
Yes.
He did.
Yes. I used to be really nervous of answering it.
Mm.
But he made you do it, you know. He used to say, you know, you'll get used to it, and you did, you know.
And did people ring up to say that there'd been an emergency or an accident or something?
No, I don't remember much about that. I don't think so.
Mm.
I know we used to deal with oxygen, big oxygen cylinders. And if somebody needed oxygen at home, TC Price would connect it up and take it forward, get it delivered to them,
Did he have a delivery van?
No. TC Price didn't drive. Mm. He and his wife used to cycle a lot. They used to go cycling always on a Thursday afternoon up around the valley and somewhere like that, taking photographs.
So he's probably got a good collection. So to move on, after handwriting the labels, technology has obviously progressed to computers.
Yes,
so
that's right, yeah.
What do you remember of those coming in?
I do, yes. The first time I had any dealing with a computer was with Mrs. Evans.
Mm.
And she was the next pharmacist after E.W. Price.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she said, we're going to have a computer mover. And I thought, pretty nice, thought to one another, and thought, oh, well. So she said, hopefully, we'll have all our patients down in the computer program, and, you know, we'll do the labelling from that. Anyway, she remember this Sunday, she's got it all sussed out now nicely, and we're having a bit of a practice. And maybe a few trial and errors, I think. But she said this one day, Mova, whatever you do, don't touch that button there. But it's just, we've terrified, because she said, if you just did that, it would take the whole system out.
Oh, gosh.
You know, it has to start again. But, eventually we got used to it. It did save a lot of work with the labelling.
And do you remember what it looked like?
Oh, very small little contraption to start.
Mm.
But I think we had it with Ken Edwards. He was there. He had the computer. That was all right. But once he left and he sold his business to now the German company, which still...
Phoenix.
That's right. Oh, you got it. I couldn't think of the name of it. Phoenix. They still... what's the name? And L. Rowland and Company, which I knew, sort of thing. And this one day, the chappie came in and he said, right, he said, you've got 2 hours now, he said, we're going to put the new computer in and the system. And it was all attached, you know, to the phone and what have you. And anything you want when you're sort of doing your labels, you can press a button, you know, and enter it, and it would record it to order for the following day, whatever. And that took quite a bit of getting used to, but we managed. Anyway, this chap, he said, right, Ducky, he said, we finished now. He said, we're off. I said, you said 2 hours. They'd been there an hour. And I thought, oh dear. But anyway, we managed. It was a lot of trial and error to start, but it was, you know, a really good system. So until I left, I quite enjoyed that, but I never went to see a computer after. But then he says to me, have you got a computer? And I said, no, sorry.
Was that after the shop had moved to the
No. I'm trying to think how long it is since they moved. Where's my... pass my little book, a minute. Trouble is, I didn't put the dates down, did I?
No. And Jill, you say your mum wasn't there very long. Do you remember any of the other ladies who worked in the shop? I'm presuming it was all just ladies.
No, I only remember Pridwin Morver and there's Jean Bufton. Mm-hmm. I do remember that, yes.
And Pridwin was?
Mm-hmm. Pridwin was Pridwin Jones, I believe.
Yes, she was.
Living at the Nyth, wasn't it? Yeah. In the Nyth bungalow, which has recently been demolished. Married Emrys Price.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, Prid sadly
so,
passed
away. So I reckon it must have been, I worked then, the last part of my work there was from 1972 to 2006 when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think, how long has Hughes...
I started coming here regularly, I think, in 2007. And I'm fairly sure it was established in the old Hughes then.
So it'd be 2006, it's either 7 or 8, isn't it? 2006, very, 7.
Around that time, I would think.
Well, I think it's nearer 2006, perhaps.
Mm.
Okay. But I can't absolutely
be
sure.
No, that's fine. Just out of curiosity, really. Because do you know why they moved? Why they came out of this one?
I don't know. I think they don't want to expand, actually.
Yeah.
A bigger premises,
yeah, I think so, yes. Because it was getting now... Because there was Bringowee Home and Crossfield House home here, they were doing a lot of medication for the patients there. And also, we would also do in what we call, like, you know, units of medication in lots, you know, the slots, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, nighttime, that sort of thing, and the tablets and little things like that.
Right.
And we had to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a lot of work, really. You know, it was not just counting the tablets, it was putting them in these containers, you know, sealing them down.
Yes, yes.
But it was quite interesting, you know, but a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have them all ready for, you know, they came in weekly succession, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite good.
Mm-hmm. So after 30 years of working there, who were your... colleagues, who else was working there when you left?
Just trying to think, that was the last one I left with her. That's the first, how shall I say, that's the first muscle that Roland's did. They refurbished where the health food place is now. That's in the blue. And then that's again in the green.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I retired. Well, I was trying to think. Oh, this is a party, leaving party, I presume. It's Catherine Joy, Dr. Joy's daughter, Julia Smith, Mike, my husband, and Mr. R. Owens, the pharmacist. And then I worked with Zoe. She still works with the chemist now.
Right.
You know, the one where we moved to.
Mm-hmm.
but I think that must be. That must be where the Rowlands is now, isn't it, I think.
It looks like it. Yeah, it looks like that back shelf, yes. Next to the counter there, yes. That would definitely be the
current shop. Yeah, I think so. That says 16th of the 3rd, 2007.
Right.
Mm.
And it was a red nose day.
Yes.
So it says, all my working life in Kemys from January 1955 to July 1965, then from 1972 to 2006, when I finally retired.
Mm.
Worked for T.C. Price, pharmacist and optician, Mr. E.W. Price, pharmacist, Mrs. Muriel Evans, pharmacist, Mr. Ken Edwards, pharmacist, all privately owned, then sold to London to L. Rowland and Company Limited, and later taken over by Phoenix Germany Company, but still retained L. Rowland & Company Limited. That's it.
Mm.
Oh, and it says, amongst the photographs are some of the girls I worked with. Gina Goldberg, Susan Saunders, Anne Cadwallader, Christine Drew, Shirley Bywater, Anne Phillips, to name those not in the photo album.
Nice. Well, that's a lovely thing. And the picture that you were given as a leaving present, what was that of?
That's what they call the old swan. Can I have a look at the one in the sitting room? It's a lovely one. Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right. We'll have a look later.
There's that photograph I was looking for.
Oh, right.
Well, darling, it's right in the front of that. Sorry.
So, Myra Scott and Heather Jones. So, that's your elder sister.
Yeah, that's right.
1954. Oh, just, doesn't it? Loads of stuff on the shelves there.
Oh, yes. I think I remember it looking like that, as a younger. And NHS, I noticed, so that would have been, well, obviously after 1947.
Yeah, that's
when it was for.
Yes. Like all the, at the back of the counter as you walked in, there was all these, as you say, like mahogany counters and that, wasn't it?
Beautiful. Oh, they were beautiful cabinets and counters. Yeah, I do remember that, yes. Yeah, with like elegant sort of brass handles, and it.
Can you see the date on it?
That one's 1955.
Now that's me. That is. That's the year I started.
Mm.
My father died in the January of that year, and then I worked then from.
How did he die?
He died of cancer.
Oh, bless. Yeah. Smoker.
Quite young, really.
Mm.
There we are.
Yeah. Yes. So, yes, it looks a fascinating shop.
And, of course, we changed the uniform and everything over the years, didn't we?
Mm.
But mostly white. I like the white overall. Might you have to keep them clean or else you were in trouble.
Yes.
I remember my mother in those white overalls. Yeah. Yes, you're quite right.
Yeah. And one of the posters that you've got up in the shop is a Castle Cinema ballroom.
That's
Raider.
Right, yeah. Well, that's where Lost Ark is now.
Yes. Mm. So that's 1955. You're having a whisk drive and a dance.
That's right. They used to have lots of those. And they used to have them in St. Clement's Hall, didn't they?
Yes.
I believe so, yes, yeah, which is sort of now the leisure centre. Yeah. So if I can just ask, did T.C. Price didn't mind sort of advertisements for local...
No, he didn't mind that.
He didn't mind at all.
He was very good with that.
Mm.
And, you know, over the years, he belonged to the Raider Chamber of Trade. I think Richard Hughes' father and Mr. Harold Ryder, I think they were all belonged to the Chamber of Trade.
Mm.
Yes,
very probably. I think it was finished when I, before I...
Mm. Well, they were all business people in the town, weren't they?
Mm. That's right.
Mm. So it did look quite different, much lighter
in the
new shop, much more space. But, fascinating. So what are the changes in Raider have you seen over your lifetime here?
Quite a lot, really. Yes, we've lost a lot of shops, haven't we, over the years, sort of thing.
They seem to change all the time. Almost every time I was coming back before I came to live here permanently, a shop would have changed hands, and it's happening still.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
something
will close down and then something else will pop up. But, of course, it's the traffic, isn't it, that's really changed so much.
Yeah, you know, how should we say that? We're in the North Street now, aren't we? The West Street, that's right. Mm. Well, at the bottom end, you know where the butcher's shop is now?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby the Butcher's, as we called. Well, that's changed to another. That used to be Walton's shop there.
That's
a television
right.
shop.
Mm-hmm.
This is to sell, you know, all sorts of things there. Then next door to that, I'm trying to think now, what was there?
I seem to remember, was there an ice cream shop there near the Beehive? And there was Di Boot.
Yeah,
and
you've gone up a bit too far.
Am I going too far to the clock now?
There was a Miss Harris's, I think, in the shop where the antiques chap is now. And I'm trying to think who was in the shop. Oh, I tell you, it was in the shop next, between the butcher and the antique shop, was a Mrs. Mills with a wool shop. And I remember buying wool from there because I'm a right knitter. And then, it's going from there, I'm trying to think now, what else? And there used to be a cafe next door to Dye Boots years ago.
Mm.
I can't think.
Was it the West End? Was it called the West
right,
End?
Yeah,
I remember
West
that.
End, yes, yeah.
I seem to remember it was something to do with ice cream and the West End.
And then, of course, it's always been like the where the kebab shop is now used to be the men's department for Richard Hughes, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Yeah, and then the other half, the other part of the shop, the main big shop, was the ladies' clothiers, wasn't it?
It was, and it was the most amazing shaped shop.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
had like an arcades
type of you went in and out, you went in one way and out. Yes.
And there, well, the display window seemed to be on an angle.
That's right. Yeah.
And you walked in, and there was like an awning over them, and again a very very old fashioned shop. You'd expect the change to be humming on wires. Was that sort of, I don't know whether they did that at any stage. And again, like you mentioned, everything was in little drawers.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, everything a drawer was pulled out.
Right,
you know, cardigans, jumpers, etc.
Right,
and yes, I do remember.
And when now where are we? Then there's a lion. Then there was where the what do you call it?
The real estate.
Community.
Oh, yes.
The that was the post office.
Mm.
The Crown Post Office.
That's right.
That was lovely. I can't remember the name of the people that got it. Well, that they came there to run it. And they'd got a dog, a boxer dog. And Bart went to, I don't know whether he went to help sort out posts or what he was doing. But this dog used to love polar mints.
Not Harvey Pugh, was it? He was there at some stage,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Yeah, but that was a Crown Post Office. Yeah, that's right, he was. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, yes.
Then I'm just trying. And then on the corner, where the estate agent is now, which was the air ambulance shop for a while, Val Evans and Edwin Evans, his mother, had a grocery shop and a sweet shop there.
I remember that, yes. That's been many things on the corner.
And then where Halton's fish and chip shop is now, Mrs. Evans also had a sweet shop there years ago,
before
she moved to the corner. I can remember that as a kid.
Yes, everybody moves, don't they?
Yeah,
around
that's right,
they set up somewhere else, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can remember... Dr. Poole used to live, had his surgery at home at Brincoid,
that's
by the car
right.
park, and they used to take maternity patients in, didn't they?
Several people.
Yeah, that's used to go there
were
to have their babies born,
sort of thing. Yes.
And they used to keep goats. And if these goats got out, they'd chase you, you know. And I can remember going down the dark lane, be terrified that these goats might be out. And anyway, this one day, this one was out. Well, I took off down the road with me, him behind me, and I dashed into Mrs. Evans's street shop and the goat after me. Oh, I don't think that's relevant to the chemist, but never mind.
Just memories of growing up. Yeah. It doesn't happen these days.
The name of the farm was Dolvia. That's where we... stayed in a little farmhouse, so we shared the house with another family. And I can remember my mother telling me she used to, her and her, the other lady that lived there, they used to cycle to town for milk, you know, every so often. They take it in turns to do that. Right. So we certainly moved around.
Dolvier, did you say?
Yeah.
B-Y-R or V?
D-O-L.
D-O-L.
F-I-R, I think F-I-R. It is.
Oh, right. Well, we look at it on the map anyway.
Yeah, Dolvier it is, yeah.
Down the Pound Lane, was it?
Yeah, well, you could go in from the main road and turn by...
Down towards Tiletis there.
That's right, yeah, you turn up the lane there. Mm. That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll find it on
the map. But I don't remember, I don't remember living there. I was only a little kid, I expect.
What do you remember of school?
Well, I can't remember a lot about it. I know I went to Cwmtaithe school. And that the only thing I can really remember of Cwmtaithe school, that on your birthday, whoever was in the class had a birthday the same day as you. You had to sit on a chair with them. And there was a lad from down Cwmtaithe somewhere. And he sat by my side. And I wasn't very pleased. I don't know why. But there we are. Mm. Yeah, that's all I can remember about Cwmtaithe school. Then I went to Rhodes school. And I think I was taught by Mr. Price. Miss Farmer. And Mrs. Owen, she used to live at Glanserth, or she left, she was at Glanserth, but she was in Guyvern before that. I can remember that. I don't remember much. And Miss Farmer, if you didn't bring your sewing to school, which they did sewing in those days, you know, embroidery thing, she'd make you darn her brother's socks. I'm quite a good darner, actually.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And is that where you got interested in knitting at school?
No, I think my mother taught me to knit, and I think I got it. Jennifer's a good bit younger than me, my younger sister. I used to knit for her, dress her dolls. So that's how I came about it, yeah. But I still do knit, you know. I just finished a shawl now.
You are a wonderful knitter.
Made a real mess up of that, because not mess up. I was counting the amount, I suppose I had 143 patterns on this shawl, and I think I'd done about 50 too many. That's what I'd do them, but still, I didn't want to do that.
But you've won so many prizes in shows and competitions, haven't you? Absolutely wonderful knitter.
Do you want to see the one I'm doing?
Well, we can have a minute.
Yes. So, is there anything else that you can remember about the chemists, or
you're just trying to think you want
to say?
After you've gone, I've also been thinking all sorts of things.
Oh, you have to jot it down, and
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you both very much. It's been fascinating talking to you, and I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
Have a lovely afternoon.
We certainly have. Thank you, down Mary Lane.
Yes,
bye-bye.